Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Kevin Anderson, who is the owner and creative director at 960 Media Group, which is located in Thunder Bay, Ontario. For over 15 years, Kevin has been working in the creative space, providing services and advice to clients all over the world. So today we're going to be discussing Kevin's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Kevin.
My pleasure.
Yeah. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Oh, man. I guess it's just the stress that just keeps me going. No, it's an exciting journey, right? Like I don't only just own 960 Group. I have a couple other businesses as well.
And okay.
That's all spread out from that. And the entrepreneurial lifestyle has grown in my family for generations. So it's totally different kind of businesses, but my mom being an entrepreneur for her whole life, just watching her grow up and raise me in that kind of atmosphere kind of really, you know, checked all the boxes of what I wanted to do when I grew up and what I wanted to do when I started the agency and things like that. So I would say more of a family driven thing that started the entrepreneurship, but it's the drive, it's the highs and the lows that come with it that I just love. So
It's hard to put into words what really, you know, creates that passion, but I think you kind of either have it or you don't. But I'm the same. Yeah,
I think you have it or you don't. We're a weird breed, entrepreneurs. We have to be nuts. I swear to God. My wife is not an entrepreneur at all. She's a very A-type personality and goes to work 9 to 5, does her thing. She can't even understand how I have a job like this. So
yeah,
you have to have it.
Yeah, it's definitely not the easy path, but it's definitely the most rewarding, in my opinion.
I agree. I totally agree. It's rough at times. The lows are low, but the highs are super high as well.
I know. So, yeah, it's true.
I enjoy that.
Yeah. Awesome. And then so tell us how you got into digital marketing.
So it's funny. Digital marketing up here in Thunder Bay is an interesting thing. It's growing all the time. We always say that we're always 5 to 10 years behind up here. We're surrounded by nothing. And our digital industry is not our main focus up here. Well, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Now it kind of is going that way. Mm-hmm. But I would say when I was a kid, I digital marketing, yes. When I was in college, digital marketing wasn't even a thing. Like Facebook was still, you know, blossoming to what it was in 2009, 2010, especially up here, they didn't know what the heck it was going to do for business.
Yeah.
And so when I went to I did a placement in college down in Los Angeles, and I worked for a company called Starman Design Group, and they were ahead of the game, like totally digital marketing, thinking of Facebook, thinking of like the new Instagram was just coming into its own as well. It hasn't been purchased yet, but it was all that kind of fast moving pace of Los Angeles and being on top of it, cutting edge, you know, apps and tech and social that was coming out. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to bring that back to Thunder Bay and really start that. So I would say my journey kind of started in the marketing space, 2012. And that was coming back when I started the company, but it was really hard to sell because people didn't understand it. They almost thought you were a snake oil salesman up here and you were selling this kind of magic that you can sell online and it goes directly to the customers you want to. And they didn't understand social media. So it didn't fully blossom out until I would say 2015 is when it really started to take a lot of traction up here in Thunder Bay. So,
right.
But on top of that, you know, I come from, very artsy background. So when I was a kid, the graphic design and the whole digital space was ingrained in me since I was a little kid. And I started fooling around with things like Photoshop and Microsoft Paints and websites and things like that ever since I was a small kid. And
that's so cool.
Yeah. And I didn't know it would ever turn into anything. That's the funny part. And it's unbelievable to think about. My cousin always laughs at me. He works for me. He's my executive director right now, but which is funny. He always used to say to me, why do you do that? Like, why do you want to build a website or design a website in Microsoft Paint when you're 10 years old? And because it was just the dawn of the internet, really.
Yeah.
And I was designing websites. I was on GeoCities and Homestead and all this kind of stuff. I just thought it was neat. I just never thought it would turn into a career until I was just outside of high school. Like it just didn't happen. But I've always kind of had that love of design and drawing and things like that. I just didn't think it would ever end up in the digital space. And I thought I was just playing around. And here we are, you know, years and years later, and we're running a full agency with it and helping people do the same. So
yeah, that's so awesome. And it's such a fun challenge as well. I think when you're able to combine, you know, like both those sides of your brain, you're able to combine that creative element with that logical element and put them together. And I think that's really where marketing is just the most impactful to the businesses. So it's really interesting.
I always say this to the students at the college. I do a couple talks there all the time. And I would say it's architect engineer, right? Like the architect's the wild one, the one designing the awesome stuff, but the engineer makes it work, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't do it without each other. So you kind of have to think outside the box, wild dreams, but also bring it back down to simplicity and is it functional and things like that all the time. And that's anything when it comes to design or marketing. It's just what are the X's and O's, what are the numbers, but also what is it going to look like and how you're going to attract those numbers. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, you know, you went and you did your placement in Los Angeles, which is really cool. So when you came back, when did you start your agency? Was that something, you know, you started right away or did you start freelancing? Like, what did that journey look like for you?
Well, it's an interesting story. And I tell people this all the time. In Thunder Bay, there was a bunch of agencies. We're in the middle of nowhere. There's a college and it pumps out tons of graphic designers, tons of web developers, videographers, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of agencies around here for not many clients for some reason. So
interesting.
When I came back, I started right away and I wanted to, actually I'll tell the whole story. It's really funny. So, when I was in college, I worked on the Confederation College website. And I found out how much they paid to get that website done because I was the one teaching the person the upgrading. And I said, man, I would love to get my hands on a contract like that, you know, and I'm still in school. And then I went and did my placement and I understood how they ran their business. And it was a really interesting way to run an agency. There was two people. There was a creative director and an executive director. And then they had a couple interns and everyone else was on a Rolodex, but basically just freelancers that they would work with, part of their team, right? So it was a good way to keep cash flow steady and, you know, keep those scary things that entrepreneurs have and business owners have down to a minimum. And still work on big projects like Disney and the NFL and HBO and all this kind of stuff. It was really cool. And so when I came back, I said, no, I'm doing the same thing because there's nothing scarier than having so much overhead and not being able to, you know, facilitate that with the amount of clients. So I was able to come back, create a small agency right away in 2012. And I started with myself and I was very fortunate that I was able to do a lot of skills in that space. So I was able to design, I was able to develop, but I was also able to do my bookkeeping. I was also able to sell. I was kind of the jack of all trades for the business. Nice. But I also worked with I kind of went back into the college Rolodex that I had and I found the people that I used to work with and we'd hire them and in the spots that needed hiring, but we'd pay them per project. So it was kind of an interesting way to build the agency to keep things low, like overhead low. And for 5 years, I ran that same model and that was kind of like, I always call it a glorified freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, I was still able to bid on big projects like I always wanted to, put the company in front of me and really go with the company and not myself. And I got really used to saying us and we instead of I and me, you know? And so it really worked. So when I went there, I was able to sell the company as a whole. We're a unit. We work with these people. You know, we have affiliates over here. And that really helped me sell it as a bigger picture, because when you start a business, you're also a startup and people got to take you seriously, and you have to have some sort of background to be able to get these kind of projects, and you have to pay your dues in a sense. So I wanted to build that up and kind of this facade almost. And then that slowly developed into me actually like, okay, I guess I need to hire someone. and I really start to build the agency out. So that was an interesting way to start it. And kind of explore the marketplace without kind of having, you know, my neck out.
Yeah. Very cool. That's really interesting. And then, so was, you know, finding those clientele, you know, finding those first few clients, was that challenging, or was that something, because, you know, you mentioned that, you know, sales was one of your skills, that you didn't find that too difficult?
Oh, extremely difficult. You know, it wasn't until 5 years in that we started getting contracts that actually made sense to do this.
Right.
Because it, again, our landscape up here is really different too. Like there's a lot of sharks, not a lot of fish. So you have to stick out and you got to do something different. But to get the clientele, it was a lot of upfront pro bono work. And I always thought to myself, to get bigger fish or bigger clients, they have to relate to you on a specific level and understand that, you know, if you worked with this company, you can work with us. So the big thing with me was reaching out to businesses and creating portfolios for bigger companies that are on par, but also do the work for next to nothing or nothing, to show it off in my portfolio that that I can then show them. And then be like, no, I do this. And I put my sales deck together and I go talk to them and they're like, oh, well, you've just started your business. But yes, I have. But I also did this project for this specific company and they're very reputable. And they gave me a chance because it was free, right? And right. Then they go, oh, okay, I recognize them. If you're good enough to work with them, you're good enough to work with us. And that was a good way to bridge that gap from small to big.
Yeah.
But what took a while was... not annoying people, not calling and knocking on doors and hey, I can do this for you, I can do this for you, because everyone really wants to buy, but no one wants to be sold to. That is like the biggest thing in the world. So I took a more organic approach. I really focused on our SEO. That was huge. Like becoming number one on Google within our area, having awesome reviews within our area. If you click on our website, it's going to blow your socks off and kind of have everything you need there. And then showcasing the work we do. And then obviously they're going to take the top three, they're going to go through them and they're going to choose one of the three. All you have to do is convince them that to go with your agency. And that was the biggest thing. That's where a lot of the big leads started coming in, is more organic. And it's
interesting.
And then surprisingly, it was when we expanded outward and we didn't rely just on word of mouth, it was a lot of Google AdWords, reaching out into different areas, doing the same thing, but putting AdWords out in specific areas, seeing how the market tests, say, down in Southern Ontario, who's going to bite on those. Maybe they want to go up in more of a Northern agency because it may be a little cheaper. Who knows? And then that was kind of the next strategy to get the clients. And I just never believed in knocking on doors and saying, hey, sell me this $14,000 project. Like, no one wants to hear that. But you got to set yourself up in a position to have people come to you, and it has to be their idea and it has to be in their budget at that time. And then create that facade and that whole kind of landing page at the end of the day where they're going to come to you and choose you.
Interesting. Okay. Very good.
More organic.
So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
Well, it's funny. I thought I was on top of the world when I started it because everything was going well. I was kind of just myself. You know, money was coming in. Money was good. When I needed to grow, when it became a different battle. And obviously at the beginning, sales is everything, right? You need to eat, you need to get money in, you got to figure out some sort of revenue. So I guess it was two things. It was starting out trying to get clients, and then getting to a point where we have a lot of clients, but we need to grow to facilitate these clients. And
yes,
the first part was kind of having a model, a business model for our digital marketing. And that was just to kind of have some cash flow coming through. So creating contracts, six months to 12 months, we're going to help you with your Facebook. We're going to create ads for you. You know, if you're very unfamiliar in the space, and, you know, I'm putting about, if you can get six or seven of those, that pays for all the bills, you know, you're getting cash flow in each month and everything's moving forward. So you can focus on the bigger fish. You know, you know that you, okay, how am I going to get that bigger client now? You know, I got the money coming in. I need to focus on every single project that comes through, but then you get a lot of projects and then you have to figure out how you're going to facilitate those. So that was the biggest challenge for me, was getting to a point where I was too busy. And then how am I not going to let my current clientele down, and how am I going to grow? So not only are you overwhelmed, you have to hire people, then you have to train people, and then you have to get them familiar with what's going on. And it takes 6 months to a year to add, you know, change it from one model to another. And that was a huge challenge for me. And because not only did I have to invest a ton of money into these people, and we need to get more work, not just the amount of work that keeps me busy right now, to pay for these people, and then kind of round this corner with them and let them trust me that it's going to get busier now that they're on board, and et cetera, et cetera. And that was the biggest challenge for me. It's like keeping the clients happy, but also hiring someone, but also getting busier. And there was just not enough hours in a day. But at the end of the day, it all worked out. You're going to have a couple clients that will be upset with you because you're not paying as much attention as you did in the beginning because you're that busy.
Yep.
And I didn't want that because customer service is everything. But now it's like, I couldn't imagine working without my team now. It's crazy. But that was the biggest hurdle for me, was just growth and how am I going to facilitate that growth?
So if you could go back in time and, you know, go through that again, what would you do differently? You know, what did you learn from that situation?
Well, it's interesting. It all comes to, man, I think I would, I was really young, so I was really stupid. I thought I could handle the world, right? And when you're in your early 20s and you're starting a business, oh my God, you could do a million things and you have so much energy. Now I'm in my 30s and I just want to go to sleep every minute. But what I would do is I'd probably want to partner up with someone in a space, you know, that architect, engineer atmosphere, that person.
Yeah, find really someone who has complementary traits.
Absolutely. And then bring them on in a, whether it's a small capacity or and if the deal is good, you know, a 50-50 capacity, so that we can bounce ideas off each other and we don't drive just myself crazy thinking that I'm the one who's not, because we'll get the clients, but at the end of the day, am I doing something wrong? Is this not working? And it's like, it's all me, right? And then as soon as you have someone else in there who might be a partner, you can throw those ideas back and forth, and it kind of just calms you down when the world gets too busy. So that's what I would have done. I would have brought somebody in and it would have been a duo moving forward instead of just me. But it's just, I own it now and I got a good team. So glad we're through that.
But yeah.
Those are the challenges for sure.
Would you have documented more information so that whenever you had to train someone, or was that, you know, you think that you just approached that very organically?
Organically, especially when it comes to marketing, because you can't put your finger on the pulse with marketing. It all comes down to basic steps. At the end of the day, you have to learn marketing 101 and how the human mind is wanting to be sold to and how you want to do that. That's it. The platform is always changing. The trends are always changing. You can't teach one trend because once you do, the next trend's in, right?
Right.
So I always say that. So you can't really create a manual for marketing, but when it comes, even web changes so much.
Everything's changing so fast.
So just understanding just the preliminary, like how design works, how marketing works, how it all works together. What is high quality content versus, you know, low quality content? And is low quality content bad? No, not necessarily, unless it's used in a specific way. So kind of having those guidelines. But I always, when I did train them, those were always in the back of my head, and those were my my foundations of how I did everything. And I tell the kids at the college that too. I'm like, there's no right way to do social media because it's going to change. You can't write a book on it.
Yeah.
You can write a book on good marketing and like understanding the human brain and how they buy, but you know, just, you know, TikTok is in right now, but it might not be in 10 years from now. Who knows?
Exactly.
But don't put all your chips into one kind of platform. And that's how I believe in it anyway.
Yeah. No, it's so true. So where do you see 960 Media Group in 5 years' time? What are your goals for the agency?
Well, it's really interesting. I just had a conversation with this with our digital marketing manager, and so where do you see this place in 5 years? And you know, I think we're growing to a point where I had the agency at a place that I was comfortable. And now I want to grow it to a bigger, not massive, but I want to say like we're the Navy SEALs of our area. Like you hire our team to get the job done. Like we're the best, but we're small. We're still that boutique agency.
Yeah.
So I see us, adding to the team, but not crazy, working on higher level projects and bringing our expertise to those higher level projects, because we know we have something special here and we can really work on those bigger clients instead of a million smaller clients, right? Or just using this as a factory to get the job done in and out. More of the passion of why we do this, the love of the design, really helping big challenges and big clients out. I think that is where I want to take it.
Yeah. Oh, that's really exciting. Yeah. It's so great when you're just, you know, so passionate about the clients that you're working with and, you know, you love their cause and what they stand for. It just makes everything so exciting.
And oh my God. Like the best part about this entire industry is unlearning so much about other industries.
Yes. Yeah, it's totally.
Super cool. Like you do all your research all the time and all one day you're learning about an organic t-shirt company. And then the next day you're learning about the bioeconomy of the area. And then the next day you're learning about the university and you're figuring out recruitment tech. Like, it's like, how do you keep it all in?
It's always keeping things interesting and fresh.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
It's not boring. Not a day goes by that this job is boring.
So true. Awesome. Well, yeah. We are getting ready to wrap up here shortly. Sure. And then we'll be moving on to the fast five. So I'll have five rapid fire questions for you in just a moment.
Sure.
But do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah. You know, my big challenges were, burning out, getting to a point where you're taking on too much. I would say, pace yourself. You're starting your own business. Don't be afraid to ask for help. I know when you start a business, you're young, you think you could take it on. I did it. That was the hardest thing, was asking for help. I had an ego and a chip on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. Yes, it gave me drive, but it also hurt me at the same time.
Yeah.
So I would say, ask for help when help is needed. Don't feel bad. Get out there. And don't worry about what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone looks at other agencies and, oh my God, they got this client, or they started after me and they got this. You don't know their story. Focus on your own four walls and keep moving forward. And eventually everything will grow organically for you.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. You know, there's not one right way to grow a successful business. You know, some people thrive working, you know, just insane number of hours a week, and others, you know, will get burnt out doing that. And so you got to kind of know what works best for you. And obviously you have to, you know, have that drive and determination. You got to work really hard, but you know, I think you gotta just use your gut and know what works for you. And as long as you're, you know, you've got that patience, you work relentlessly, it'll be successful at the end of the day.
Absolutely. That's it. Consistency and always keep learning and just never fall out of love with what you're doing. And sometimes that happens and you got to turn it around.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're now ready to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you.
All right. Let's see if I could do these.
All right. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I got two: Crush It and Jab, 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 Right Hook, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Lots of coffee and sometimes starts at noon.
All right. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not really, but I would say I love Elon Musk. I just love his vision and where things go if he was a CEO, but I don't take a lot of, from him and run it into my business. I just like that industry. I like the renewable energy industry. So I kind of like that, but that would be it.
Okay. Very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
Pinterest.
Very good.
100% inspiration all day. That is it. Go on there, look over and over again, get inspired, figure out how this is going to work and how this can work for a client that you don't even have yet. Stay on your toes, stay educated, figure out trends. And I think Pinterest is a great idea for that, especially for you visual learners. So
that's a great tip. Very good. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
How crazy this was going to be. And one thing I wish I knew was, I don't know. Basically how crazy this was going to be and how much time and effort this is going to take to do this. And that's really it. But you roll with the punches. I guess that would be it. I have no idea, really.
Yeah, just, have patience at the end of the day. It's, you got to pay your dues and, stay persistent.
Yeah, compartmentalize, home life, work life. Yeah, you have to have a balance. I learned that 10 years later, but you have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kevin. It was a pleasure to learn about your journey and your story of growing your agency. So thank you again for joining me for today's episode.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I always love doing this kind of stuff. And this is a really awesome idea and a really awesome podcast. So I encourage people to go listen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.